Can somebody who's got one of the church Bibles please shout out what page number it's on? What? 1079, thank you. John chapter 12, then verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. I think it's true to say that every single person in this room has had a problem at one point or another. And I'm going to show you some pictures now of problems that different people face in life. So can we have the first picture up and let's see how we go. There's my first problem, and stress is resulting as a result. I'm on green here. Are you able to put the first picture on for me? Ah, there's the first picture. Can you see what this person's problem might be? Or is it the motorbike that's got the problem? A little bit of both. We'll move on quickly. Now, I've tried to be quite sensitive in putting this picture up, but these little boys and girls haven't got enough food. That's their problem. Sometimes we watch pictures, don't we, on the television, and the little boys and girls in Africa really do look very hungry indeed. In fact, sometimes I find it so distressing that I have to turn it over. It's very sad, isn't it, to watch. The first man was overweight. These little children haven't got enough food. Let's see what we've got next. You see what's happening here? What's happening here? What do you think these folk are feeling? What's the word that comes to mind?
Frustration.
Frustration, yes, it's not the word I was thinking of. But stress, yes. Sometimes we may have felt like throwing the computer out of the window. Yes. Some people get stressed at work. Some people get stressed at college. Some people get stressed and worked up at school. These are the problems, aren't we? Aren't they, that we face in life? I don't know whether you can tell what's going on here, but actually, the man at the front has just lost a loved one. And he's feeling very sad and upset about that, and his wife is endeavouring to comfort him. I wonder whether you can guess what's going on in this picture. This man has lost something. What do you think it is that he's lost? His job. That's right. So he's got no money now to put food on the table for his family. He's got no money now to pay for the house. And he's very worried about that. It's a real problem. What's going on here, do you think? Why is this lady covering her face? Why is she saying, don't look at me, don't look at me? What's she worrying about? What's her problem, do you think? Any ideas? She's got no confidence in what? In herself. In the way that she looks. And there are lots of people, aren't there, in life that are like that. You know, they're very worried about the way that they look, and they don't want anybody to see them. And as far as they're concerned, their biggest problem in life is the way that they look. Well, here are some of the problems that people have in life, and we may have some of these problems, we may have other problems. But, you know, many years ago, in Jesus' day, the Jews had a problem. What do you think their problem was? What do you think they felt that their great problem in life was? But the clue is right in the middle of the picture. Well, shall I tell you? Their problem was that they weren't able to rule their own land. Their problem was that they were occupied by the powerful Romans. The Romans were in charge. And here's a man counting money. What do you think he might be? Any ideas as to what he might be? He's a tax collector. Is that what you're going to say, Naomi? What were you going to say, Peter?
No.
You were going to say something else, but not tax collector. But never mind, that's a good try. It's a good try. Yeah, this is a tax collector. He's counting the money, isn't he? But taxes were collected and then given to the Romans. And so the Jews weren't able to spend all their money on themselves, which presumably they would like to have done. They had to give lots of their money to the Romans. And so, as far as the Jews were concerned, their biggest problem in life was Roman oppression. And more than anything else, I think they wanted to be set free from Roman oppression. They wanted to be saved. But you know, the reality was Roman oppression was not their biggest problem. And I don't know what your problems are in life this morning, whether you're sitting along the front row or whether you're sitting at the back or whatever age you might be. Whatever your problem is, the greatest problem that everybody in the world has is this. This was the greatest problem for the Jews. This is the greatest problem for every single human being living on the face of the earth. The problem of sin. And you know, it really is a much bigger problem than we may realize. And I want to look at
two Old Testament stories this morning, very briefly, to highlight how serious sin actually is. I don't know whether you see what's going on here, but this is the Ark of God. On the cart there, it's covered actually, and there are two oxen, aren't there, that are pulling the cart, and there's lots of rejoicing going on. And if I turn to the next picture, you'll see King David, and he along with the other people are rejoicing. But the Bible tells us that one of these oxen stumbled, or the oxen stumbled. And it caused one particular man to reach out and to touch the ark. Now there's a picture of him here. Can you see the man in red? What do you think's happened to him? What do you think's happened to him? Any ideas? Is he just having a rest, do you think? Is he just having a little nap? He's died. And the reason he's died is because God has struck him down. You see, the Ark of God was something that was put in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And those things that were put in the tabernacle and the temple were considered to be holy. They were set apart, in other words, for God. And God said that they shouldn't be touched. And here was a man who reached out and touched the Ark of God. And he was struck down dead. Because you see, he disobeyed a command in Scripture. That's how serious sin is. I think he probably just reached out thinking he was going to do something good, something helpful. But you see, he disobeyed a command and he was struck down dead. Let's have another picture. Any ideas as to who this man in the red robe might be? I'll give you a chance just to have a look at it. Any ideas as to who it might be? A very, very famous character in the Old Testament. Well, it's Moses. And can you see that the men around him are complaining? They're grumbling at him. Because you see, for 40 years, the people of Israel, along with their leader Moses, wandered through the wilderness. And they kept on complaining that they didn't have water or bread, and they didn't like that which God provided for them. And they did a lot of this. They complained against Moses, and they complained against God. They said, God, you're not giving us a fair deal. God, you're not looking after us properly. And do you know what God sent in amongst the Israelite camp? Any ideas? A certain animal, a reptile, yes? He sent in snakes, lots of venomous snakes. And those snakes bit the people, not all of them, but some of them, and lots of them died. And it was God punishing them for their grumbling, punishing them for their sin. Because, you see, sin is serious. Very serious. Much more serious than sometimes we think that it is. What does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. Sin deserves to be punished. And because we all sin, we all deserve to be put out of God's presence forever and ever. Our biggest problem is not the amount of money in our bank account. Our biggest problem is not the way that we look. Our biggest problem is not this, that, or the other. Our biggest problem is sin, and it's a very serious problem indeed. Now, it's all been rather negative, hasn't it, up to this particular point. We don't like to talk about sin, but there is good news that's coming. I want to pray now, but let me just ask you all a question. If sin is as serious as it is, and it is very serious, and the wages of sin is death, why are we all sitting here still alive, and why haven't we been cast into to hell.
There are two ways in which I can answer that question. But the reason why many people throughout this world are still alive and haven't yet been thrown out of God's presence forever is because God is a merciful God. And he wants to give them the opportunity to get right with him by trusting in the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. Let's spend some time, shall we, in prayer. And I want to pray in particular for Buzz Club. Although I think we'll spend some time tonight as well in prayer for Buzz Club. But let's just pray for a moment. Lord, there will be a lot of people this morning who would be very offended if we were to talk to them about their sin. There are lots of people that refuse to acknowledge the fact that they are sinners before you, and yet your word is so clear. We've all fallen short of your standard. We're all sinners by nature. We grow up doing naughty things. It's not very long before we need to be corrected and told off by our parents. And Lord, your word gives us lots of different examples telling us how serious our sin is. May we never make light of it. May we never seek to excuse it, say that it doesn't matter. Lord, you are a holy God. And every time we sin, we're rebelling against you. We're saying that you don't matter. We're saying that your ways don't matter. Lord, our sins are an affront to you. So we pray that you would impress this upon us this day. But Lord, as we go on this morning, we ask that we may be overjoyed as we see your solution to the problem of sin. Lord, we thank you this coming week that we're going to have the joy of seeing lots of boys and girls coming into this place to listen to the stories of the Bible. And Lord, we look forward to Buzz Club. We pray for all those who are going to be involved in leading it, and we ask that you help them and strengthen them and be to them all that they need. We pray that the boys and girls will be kept safe as they come along, and we trust, O Lord, that the time that we spend together will bring honour and glory to your name. We pray that there will be boys and girls who come to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Saviour and as their Lord. Lord, we ask great things of you this week. We know that we can ask great things of you because you are a great God. And Lord, man's greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And may there be those who see their need of him this week. Lord, we know that we're not too young to become a Christian, not too young to be saved, not too young to simply say sorry for our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. And so, Lord, we look to you to be at work this week, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary, can I have my next picture up on the screen, please? We talked, haven't we, about the seriousness of sin. But now I want us to try, if we can, to go back a couple of weeks. And to think about this man. Can you remember the name given to this man? Any ideas? Can anyone remember? No? Well, let me tell you, his name's Lazarus. Jesus, you remember, went to the tomb of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus had been in the tomb for how many days? 4 days. So he was well and truly dead. But Jesus, in a loud voice, said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out, and he was alive and well. You see, such is the power, such is the authority of the Lord Jesus. He can even cause those who are dead to come to life again. Now, can you imagine how much interest this would have caused amongst
the Jews. Jesus had already done lots of miracles, but here was Jesus raising someone from the dead. And as Jesus rode on a colt or on a donkey towards Jerusalem, there were lots of people that came out to greet him. There was lots of excitement. You see, I think that the Jews thought that Jesus was their king, that Jesus was their Messiah, that he was their saviour, and that he was going to save them from what? The Romans. Because they thought that the Romans was their greatest problem. There was so much excitement. And they laid down their palm branches, acknowledging Jesus as their king, and they also shouted a word, Hosanna. Does anybody here this morning know what the word Hosanna actually means? Sometimes we sing a song, don't we? Hosanna, Hosanna. But do we know what the word means? Any ideas? Adults? God saves. Yes, it means save now. And what they were expecting Jesus to do was to ride into Jerusalem and save them, to save them there and then from the Romans, so that they could be free, so that they could become prosperous again. And everything would be absolutely wonderful. And here is a picture of a group of Jews getting extremely excited. There would have been lots of people around at this particular time because it was the time of the Passover feast. So, you know, we are talking about thousands of people in Jerusalem. And the Pharisees, we're told, remember the Pharisees didn't like Jesus very much. Here in verse 19, that they were very worried that the whole world was going after Jesus. Well, let me ask the question, had Jesus come to save the Jews from the Romans? Well, the answer to that question is clearly no. He hadn't come to save them from the Romans because the Romans wasn't their greatest problem. He had come to save them from their greatest problem, and that was their problem of sin. And Jesus was going to save Jews and Gentiles from their sins, not with a sword, but by dying upon a cross. Now, if you've got a Bible open before you, I'd like you to read along with me. So John chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 23 and 24. Now, if you haven't got an NIV, I would simply ask you to read quietly to yourself, but if you've got one of the church Bibles, let's read these two verses out loud together. John chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. Are you ready? Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." I don't know whether you can see what it is that I've got in my fingers here. Can you see? You can see. What have I got? It's a thorn, isn't it? Yes, it's a seed. It's a grain of wheat. It's a very tiny. I just dropped out of my hand. I've lost it. And I'm not going to reach down and get it because I've hurt my back again this week. But you can see another one if I grab it. Now I could put this on the front of the lectern here, and it would still be here tonight. In fact, it would remain on there for a long, long time if I was to leave it there. And it would enjoy the light, and it would no doubt be kept warm in this building. But what's meant to happen to this little seed at a particular time of the year? It's meant to what, Peter? Well, it is meant to grow, but if it's going to grow, what do you need to do with it first? You have to put it somewhere. Where do you need to put it? Into the ground, don't you? And I wonder whether the little seed likes that. Perhaps it doesn't have feelings, I don't know. But it's wet, isn't it? And dark and cold in the ground. But you know, if you put the little seed at a particular time of the year into the ground, it will die, but the result will be this, won't it? Many seeds. Isn't it wonderful how these things work? We marvel at the way in which God has created our world and causes things to grow. Well, you know, Jesus was brilliant when it came to illustrations. And Jesus, in these verses that we've just read, likened himself to a seed. Now, Jesus could have remained alive, but Jesus chose to die upon a cross. He chose to die. But in dying, the result was that lots of people would be saved. Many would experience life. Let me just grab one of these seeds again. One little seed put into the ground, it dies. Many seeds are produced. One life, Jesus' life. He dies upon the cross. The result is that many get to enjoy life forever. Those who repent of their sins, those who trust in him, get to live forever in God's barn or in God's heaven. I want to tell you a story. I don't think you've heard this story before. It's about a little boy who was extremely naughty. Ever so naughty. Don't know whether any of you are naughty, are you? Sometimes, maybe? Sure you are. Not all the time. And his mum and dad said to him, look, if you continue to be naughty, there's going to be trouble. But he didn't listen to what mum and dad said. And so when it came to dinner time, and everybody was sitting around the meal table, mum brought everybody their dinner. She brought dad his dinner first, and you know, it was a lovely roast dinner. And it had all the trimmings, and along with dad's roast dinner, he was brought a lovely fruit juice. The same meal was put on the table where mum was going to sit as well. But then mum, out of the kitchen, brought the little boy's dinner. And on his plate, can you guess what there was? Well, there was something, but it was just a round of bread. And there was no butter on it. There was certainly no ham or no cheese on it. It was just a round of bread. And then mum brought him his drink, and it was just a glass of water. It wasn't fruit juice. It wasn't Coca-Cola. It was just a glass of water. And you know, as the little boy looked at his meal, his head dropped and his heart sank. And he realized that he had been a very naughty boy, and this was what he deserved for being so naughty. And you know, the little boy began to cry. He was so sorry for what he had done. And his dad looked over and recognized that he was indeed very sorry for what he had done. And what his dad did, I think, is really wonderful. His dad took his lovely roast dinner and his lovely glass of juice, and he swapped it with the little boy's dinner and the little boy's glass of water. And that night, dad ate and drank what he did not deserve, and the little boy ate and drank what he did not deserve. But it was his father's gift to him. It's a wonderful story, isn't it, of the father's love for his son. You know, that story reminds me or provides me with an illustration of Jesus' love for sinners. You know, we as sinners deserve death. We deserve to be punished for our sins because our sins are so serious. But Jesus came into the world. He suffered and died upon a cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we might receive a wonderful gift, the gift of heaven itself. Isn't it an amazing story, the cross, and what Jesus achieved for sinners upon the cross? The little boy, he didn't deserve that roast dinner. We don't deserve heaven. But Jesus died upon the cross so that we who repent of our sin and trust in him might get to enjoy heaven forever. Just a couple of things as we finish this morning. I want to say a few things about Jesus' death on the cross. Firstly, it was something that was very public. You know, we've seen Jesus, haven't we, making his way towards Jerusalem. Everybody knew that he was coming. His death was not something that took place in a corner. The book of Acts tells us that. It was a very public thing. But this was something that Jesus did voluntarily. It was something that he was willing to do. It was something that was planned by God. Verse 27, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. It was planned, it was unimaginably difficult. It brought glory to God. Because you see, when Jesus died upon the cross, it revealed God's love and God's mercy. But it was not the end, was it? Because although Jesus died upon the cross, on the third day, he rose to life again. I've just told you this morning, I think, the best story that could ever be told. Jesus' death for sinners upon the cross. But you know, the Bible does teach us that there needs to be a response to his death upon the cross. And the proper response to such a wonderful story is for us to say sorry for our sins, to repent of our sins, to acknowledge the awfulness of our sins before God, and to trust in Jesus who died upon the cross, who alone can save us, who alone can rescue us from the consequences of our sin. Let's pray. Lord, we've seen this morning how that our sin is very serious. We've looked at two Old Testament stories that remind us of how serious sin is. And yet, if we really want to see how serious sin is, we only have to look at the cross, where the Son of God suffered and died in the place of sinners and bore the wrath of God. Lord, many of us here this morning can say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you that you took the punishment that I deserve. Thank you that you did what you did so that I might go free." Oh Lord, that each one of us in this room might be able to say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me." Lord, our greatest problem is the problem of our sin. And we thank you that Jesus dealt with our problem upon the cross, so that sin can be forgiven, so that sin can be dealt with. We want to thank you for such a wonderful story that we're able to tell, week by week. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for such a wonderful Savior. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name.